During these testing times, I found the perfect thing to help me relax and practice mindfulness. Building a Lamborghini. Okay, it's not a real Lamborghini, it's a Lego Lamborghini, but still, you build a Lamborghini, you tell people, especially if it can help find joyful focus in a time when I need it most. Now, before you start, Lego isn't just for children. It's got products designed to challenge adults too, like a Lamborghini, works of art, even skylines from around the world. Now, these types of projects can really give you a well-needed break from the pressures of everyday life. I've lost myself in Lego, the whole building experience, many, many times. While I was working on the 8-speed sequential transmission of my green Lambo, everything else just melted away. They have lots of options for any experience level, so it really doesn't matter if you haven't built with Lego for a while. Search Lego Adults and find your joyful focus.
Johnny Vaughan's 4 till 7 thing. Radio
X. Welcome to the Johnny Vaughan 4 till 7 thing podcast, week ending Friday, 15th of January, 2021. Well now. Hello, Woodman.
Hello, John.
So we had a little sigh for a couple of days this week. Then we had the pleasure of Joe's company. Hello, Joe.
Hi, mate.
And I never normally bring in Little Si into this section of the podcast.
No.
But because you're here in his role, I think we can expand that.
Yeah.
Joe, so nice to have you rolling with the crew for a week and just briefly in our bubble. Really, just lovely, Joe.
I very much enjoyed it, thank you.
Do you miss us terribly? We miss you!
I listen to the radio every day and sob.
Do you?
Definitely. Yeah.
Okay.
Not this week, though.
No, I know. I thought it's just BBC local radio. Has that effect on everyone? What about listening to Radio X? Coming up, find out why my girlfriend keeps playing Black Velvet at me when I'm in the toilet. Well, and other times as well. It's not just
that. It sounds
just
awful.
Because I drink Guinness on the Carsey. Gav's got a hero with a voice you don't hear so much as feel. So much as feel. And there's conflict resolution between a couple of chickens in Talkies. Enjoy.
Radio X.
Hello, Gavin.
Good afternoon, John.
Good evening, we'll say. Just through the winter. How are you, little Simon? You all right?
Yeah, good.
Good evening, little Simon. You all right?
Good evening.
Happy birthdays today.
Yeah.
For me, slightly confirm there's no truth in astrology.
Okay, who have we got?
Well, I can't reconcile this lot into one
group of characteristics.
Yes, you can't. We're in Capricorn at the moment. We're in Capricorn. Yeah. So that includes, okay, get this, right?
Go on.
Mary J. Blige.
Right.
Arthur Scargill. Now, there's no way. Capricorns are like a Capricorn. Now, let's just picture them there, being given advice by Russell Grant, say. You got them, and then, wait for it.
Scargill Blige.
I've got more.
Go on. Yeah,
Brian Robson.
Right.
Made a trouble with Gaza Lake, and I've had a lot of problems with Gaza. I heard him on the radio the other day actually being interviewed, just fun enough about Gaza, and even then I could just hear the slight cluck of a cough suite. Gannon ruined his mouth.
Yeah, anyway, so Brian Robson, so you got today, Mary J. Blige.
Yeah.
Arthur Scargill.
Brian Robson.
Are you ready?
Anyone else?
Yep.
Go on.
Melvin Hayes.
What?
Yeah.
Melvin Hayes.
As in we're ain't off hot here.
Yes, little actor is really...
Yeah. And he's also in Summer Holidays, one of Cliff's gang.
Yeah.
Right? But it's really hard. It's almost like... The tastes on a palate,
yes,
on your tongue, that are all different. You can't
very different.
No relationship between any of them. And then last up, and that's really the four: Mary J. Blige, Melvin Hayes, Brian Robson, and Arthur Scargill.
Wow,
that's it, isn't it? Wow. That's like sweet, salt, sour, and the other one that everyone forgets:
umami.
No, umami's the fifth.
Right.
Well, in this case, Brian Moore.
Bitter.
In this case, Brian Moore. So you're absolutely right. Out of all of those, I'd have Mary J. Blige as umami.
Yes.
Because that's the taste. It's just
too good.
That's the flavour.
That's the flavour.
What a voice.
Yeah.
Brian Robson, Arthur Scargill, Brian Moore, and Melvin Hayes. Yeah, that's like the whole... Yeah.
Hayes would be the sweet.
Anyway, yeah, definitely. I don't know, Gav. I think they're just human types.
Yeah.
83936, if it is your birthday today and you'd like to join in this this unreconcilable...
Are you Scargill, Blige, Robson or Hayes?
Yes, how do you see yourself? But do you know what, Brian Robson, this just sounds quite interesting about Brian Robson. This is my last, apart from the fact he is staggeringly good company. I spent a couple of weeks in Spain with him. And brilliant company.
Yeah.
Absolutely brilliant company. Aside from that... They measured, you know, your middle finger.
Yes. Yeah.
The middle finger, the measurement in proportion to the finger next door,
yeah,
shows how much testosterone is across the womb when you were born.
Yeah? Wow.
And what it's a measurement of in football,
yeah,
is the greater the disparity between that middle finger and the one next door,
yeah,
the more work rate they found footballers had.
Really?
The more they actually ran around on the field. Yeah.
Is this true?
Yes, absolutely true. The greater the disparity between the two,
right, right,
the more of an engine that footballer had on them.
Wow.
And in the Premiership at the time, Brian Robson did have the top difference when they measured it.
The longest difference.
In millimetres.
Wow.
How amazing that something in science was actually born out. A theory was actually born out by reality. Right, let's have a tune. This is Jerry Cinnamon. It's Ghost, right here on Radio X. It's also Jamie Vardy's birthday. Where does he fit? Again, he's got a good engine. He fits somewhere between Brian Robson and Brian Moore. Slightly psycho,
yeah,
good engine.
Yeah.
Slightly,
yeah,
psycho, good engine. Yeah, yeah. A little bit between the two there. That's a flavour wandering between the two. Don't forget me, it's my birthday as well. That's Matt from Nottingham. Capricorns are an eclectic mix. Matt, all mixes are.
Johnny Vaughan's 4 till 7 thing. Radio X.
Every Saturday between 11 and 1 on the Kickabout, Gavin and I do a thing called... Mexican handbags! Observations of everyday life. Really easy to do. My son and I made these up while on holiday in Mexico. You take the old, you add a place and an action or an object, and there you go. You've done it. We'll publish a Mexican lexicon online really soon at radiox.co.uk. Meantime, though, let's spin the old reels of the Mexican Bandit. Find out this week's Mexican handbag. Here we go. So exciting. So exciting.
What's it going to be?
The old Port Vale.
Port Vale?
Port Vale. Mm-hmm. Robbie Williams will be... Ears will be pricking up. I know it's his favourite football side, certainly.
Yeah, 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 yeah.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Yeah, yeah. Pram.
Pram.
Right, over the weekend, I tell you what the old Port Vale pram is at the moment. It's the pram I'm using, yeah?
What's that?
I've had to use this pram that's not the rugged pram. I've had to get another pram that will ease out the doors of the block of flats.
Okay, usually it's for the car, but it's for your doors out the flat.
I haven't got to open two doors, yeah, because it's just a real hassle getting back in. Because I've got one of those fobs.
Yeah.
That means it gives you a limited window to get the door open.
Oh, no.
And within that window... There isn't enough time
to get both doors open.
You need an accomplice.
Oh, my God.
You need an inside woman.
You need a crew. It's a pram crew.
You need a crew. Yeah. You need a crew. Yeah. So I'd say that my old Port Vale pram is one of those crummy little prams where literally they can't handle any terrain whatsoever.
Other than smooth tarmac.
Yeah, like a gym.
Anything else.
A gym indoors.
Parquet flooring.
Yeah, apart from, or inside the house where I sometimes get Milton to sleep by just going up and down the flat. But other than that, the tiniest tuft of grass gets in. You're thinking, why did you put mud guards on it anyway? It doesn't need mud guards.
What's that for?
It's not like that. And all you get is the crap just gets stuck between the wheel and the mud guard. So it's just... Sorry, I didn't mean this to be a rant about a pram, but maybe the Mexican Bandit.
It's not Port Vale's fault.
Gav, it just, over the weekend, drove me mad. Just have two wheels that just stationary.
No, that's
like
really
mud
annoying.
Skating.
You don't want that.
No, you don't want that.
I don't know why I thought this, but I think the old Port Vale pram is one of those cowboy movie railway carts where two of you have to pump the handle up and down.
That's really good. That's really good. Hey, Ben in Dartford, someone had to do it. The shopping trolley with the fold-out seat near the handle.
Has to be done.
Oh, man.
Beautiful.
Or the old Port Vale pram, just one of those plaid shopping trolleys that pensioners have.
Lovely.
I've got it. It's a smart car.
Yes.
Hey, 83936, my God, they're coming in here. Supermarket trolley abandoned near a children's play area. Yes.
It's lovely.
Yeah, it's always quite tempting, isn't it, to sort of think, you know what, why not just stick all of them in the one?
Exactly.
Take them home, yeah. Well, right, let's have a tune. 83936, keep them coming in. The dilapidated cart used to carry and deliver the Sentinel. It's a newspaper in Stoke-on-Trent. Thanks for that.
Hi, I'm Kirsty Gallagher, and on my new podcast, Strip Back Sport, I'll be talking with the greatest sports stars of our time, including Maro Itoje.
I play my best rugby when I'm like energetic, when I'm loud and I'm confrontational. It's a bit of an emotional roller coaster, but it can be done.
So please do subscribe, rate the podcast and give it a 5-star review. And keep listening every Monday morning for a new episode of Strip Back Sport with me, Kirsty Gallagher.
This is Radio X.
Johnny Vaughan.
I love it when I just read an item and people have just sort of, they've reinvented the wheel.
Okay.
Okay, now, this is a really good example of this, and they're really excited about
this. Was this this glasses company, Innovation?
These are people who really think you need more tech. They want more tech. What they need, really, is more things that will work via a USB charge point.
Right.
That's what I need in my life.
That's what it
is. More things with chargers.
Definitely, yeah.
Okay, get this. The days of frantically searching the house for a missing pair of reading glasses could be over. Now, that's a thing they do in adverts as well. Is this you?
Yeah.
You'll show someone carrying shopping, getting drenched by a car, only to have their key break in the lock when they get home.
And feel some back pain as
and
well.
And they get some back pain.
Yeah.
Is this you? And you're thinking, well, no. And it's this creation of fictitious hassle.
Yeah.
Most people who've got glasses have got another pair.
Yeah.
And the amazing thing is you do find your glasses eventually because you very rarely go on new pathways.
That's
true,
So you do really,
it's generally around the house, you do lose them. It's not that frustrating.
Yeah.
It's okay, but get this, right? Because that's the premise of this.
Right.
Do you lose your glasses regularly around the house? If so, you'll need these.
Right.
Now, for me, I thought it was going to be something where I can just go, and my glasses will buzz.
Oh, I see.
There's a simple solution,
like a,
but
a loyal
pet. That's not what these guys have done. The company have made tunable specs that change focal strength at the turn of the dial.
What?
Voy, an American startup, says its glasses enable users to adjust to different activities from reading to driving. What you mean? The focus varies. Why? I don't know. I don't know. I don't want to be the first to break this to you, but these glasses I'm wearing now, they've got, when I read and look down, I've got, and then very slightly it changes as I...
As you look up for driving, for example.
Right.
So we already have this.
Yes, without me having to sort of twiddle a thing. Hang on a sec. What do they really think, people? You know, hang on a second. Twiddle, twiddle. And what are you going to be left with, Gav? Wait, I can't see at the moment, but I can now.
Someone calls you from a distance and you think, who's that? And
who's
you start
that?
Fiddling
who's
with
that?
Your glasses.
Wait a second. I've got my new voice. Ah, Mum.
Ah, it's you.
Ah, it's you, Mother. No, ridiculously bad idea, because you're going to lose those as well.
Yeah.
And it just means more money on the line.
Well, how is it done? Has it got a liquid in it or something?
No, it's nano-precision glasses, Gav. It doesn't matter.
Right.
The product's based on technology developed in the 1960s.
Wow.
By a guy called De Alvarez, who was a Nobel laureate. It features two polycarbonate plates that slide across each other when the dial is turned.
Oh, I see. So they literally are very focused with a bit of movement.
The worst thing is once you've done that, so you've got them now on, say, -5.
Yeah.
Yeah, because they'll go from -5 to +2.
Okay.
Diopters. Mm. Yeah. So you've got them on -5.
Yeah.
Suddenly you've got a -2 thing and you're just left in a blur.
Of course you are.
It's a bit like when Foster Grant developed the reactor light sunglasses. People were finding that when they went into tunnels, they were just, they're driving along the Corniche in the south of France. Bright sunshine.
Yeah.
Suddenly they go into a tunnel and be like, Christ, I don't know! Oh, I've gone down a mine! My God,
I'm in hell!
I'm blinded! Yeah, and it took about 10 minutes for them to react up. You know, that's the last disaster. No, this is a disaster. It's been showcased by Binatone, the UK Hong Kong telecoms company, yeah.
Wow.
They're the same, well... They've also thought up a mask phone, which is a microphone that goes in the mask. Another thing you don't need.
This is Radio X. Johnny Vaughan.
It's time for the old Mexican handbag. Today's Mexican handbag is the old Port Vale pram. Thank you so much. Very high dividends today. Many of them, I've got to tell you, you didn't really move beyond the supermarket with the...
Oh, no, so we've had to...
What's incredible, though, Gav, is the... The variations you could have.
You had canal ones, you had your mate carrying
one broken, one of the thing,
and wobbly wheel.
It's amazing. Then we had the ones at the airport.
That's right.
Basically, anything with a bad wheel. Wonderful. Wonderful. Here we go, the old Port Vale pram. This was, again, weirdly, I sometimes worry about that somehow you're getting psychically linked.
Yeah.
Because so many of you felt It's got to be a 1 litre car, VW Polo or similar to keep insurance down, driven by a 17-year-old who's added wide wings and a large chrome exhaust to make it a bit more, quote, badass. That's Paul in Newport, where I've got to tell you, that's all they drive.
It is. Yeah.
We've had loads of those, though, just cars driven by 17-year-olds, souped up. That's fantastic. Thank you so much for that. Yeah. Go on, Gaff.
Phil of Warrington gives us the old Port Vale pram. It's just Air Force One.
I love that.
Very nice.
Next one up. The old Port Vale pram. The wheelbarrow needed to transport an overly refreshed friend after too many tots of sherries at One's Club. Bill near Northampton. Can I just tell you? You just got a bit of class. It just shows, doesn't it, Gav?
It does.
Everything about that.
He just knows.
He just trips. You've either got it, you haven't, Gavin. Bill has just, he's almost got too much.
Exactly.
Look, phrases like overly refreshed, so we're not...
Lovely
we're
work.
Not... Well, it saves us having to try and think something up, a synonym for drunkenness,
yes,
you know?
Exactly.
To get across the responsible drinking message that this show is all about.
Absolutely.
So thank you, Bill, for doing all the work there and keeping it very gentlemanly. Next up, Gav.
And speaking of responsible drinking, Warren in Cambridge says the old Port Vale pram is the motion of the fella getting carried out of a suspect nightclub like Ritzy's by two bouncers.
Yes, that's the old... Get the old Port Vale pram. Two bouncers carrying a man. You know, he's obviously started performing in the club. You know,
they got the old Port Vale pram. They walked him out.
Yeah, no, they just wheeled him out of the old Port Vale pram. What do you mean? Well, two bouncers, isn't it?
Yeah.
The old Port Vale pram, Gav.
Yeah.
The skateboard used by middle-aged men who seem to think they're still young. I definitely don't own one. Honest. That's Darren in Plymouth. I do, Darren. But mind you, I have been skateboarding since 76. I've kept it real.
That's true. Kerry and Poole says the old Port Vale pram is basically just park and ride.
Yes. Go on, do the next
one
as well, Gav.
Johnny, the old Port Vale pram is when your teenager rings you for a lift home from somewhere which is normally easily walkable, but he's, quote, tired, Dad.
And do you know who that comes from?
That's Andrew.
In Tower Regional. Cool, and they've called up. I've got to tell you, Andrew, it's only because you're so posh. Most people say, get a night bus, get an Uber, or walk. But in Tower Regional, okay, but thank you for that anyway. The old Port Vale pram, the use of your child as a counterweight to stop your loaded pram tipping over. That's Billy from Dartford. Do you know what?
That's genius.
It's genius.
Because they can go. Once you've got the shopping in there,
that can do a wheel.
Especially if you're hanging a bag from the handle as well.
Yeah, look, because
you've
like
got one up there.
It becomes like those drag racing cars.
It does.
With the tractor wheels at the back. Old Port Vale pram is wheeling your office chair to the other side of the room to get something because you can't be bothered to get up. That's Ben in Dartford.
Big Side does that all the time.
He does, yeah. Everyone does in the office. Yeah. They should put them on rails.
Gaz in Dunbartonshire says the old Port Vale pram is the one that's designed to carry one child, but it ends up with all the kids in it at the end of the long, stressful shopping trip.
Gaz in West Dunbartonshire. Last two, because one's quick, the old Port Vale pram, mobility scooter for someone who doesn't need it, which drives me crazy.
Beautiful.
When they park outside a shop and just get up.
That's
especially
right.
If you've been all sort of like, you know.
My friend used to borrow his mum's one.
Do you need any help?
Yeah,
Craig did.
To go to the pub.
Right, yeah. And lastly, it's the away bus to Morecambe, Scott from Stoke. Funny guy!
Lovely.
Radio X.
I'm Johnny Vaughan. This is the 4 till 7 thing right here on Radio X. That was Jerk It Out. The Caesars had a lovely one in here. Sorry. Having spent most of my life at sea, I know what it's like to lose contact with some of your crew, with some of your old shipmates, especially when you're landlocked for a long passage. It's really important you, old shipmates, folly, rolly, 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 ride-o. Sorry, I forgot to join in. Sorry, guys. I was so impressed I got the first bit right. Hi, Johnny. Hi, Gav. I'd like to say hi. Big Side loves it. He loves it every time I mess up the singing, which means he loves this every week. I've never seen him so happy. Hi, Johnny. Hi, Gav. I'd like to say hi and send my love to my mub, Jane Walder, holding down the fort at home. And that's from Hazza in Leeds. Don't forget your old shipmates. Folly, rolly, 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 ride-o. Guys, did we just do that out of company without
Whoa.
The thing we
I think we did.
We went a cappella.
Find that right out.
How about that?
That was the first
Come
time.
On.
Hi, Tej. Please don't forget my actual last shipmates from the mighty Ark Royal, my final ship I served on. We were known as the Vote No Cadets under nautical training, a militant but utterly sound crew. Yar!
Don't forget your old shipmates. Folly, rolly, 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 roy-do.
That's R. Get them in, please. 83936. Don't forget your shipmates, your old shipmates. Remember them right here on the 4 till 7 thing. 83936. Get them in. We're going to have a massive shipmate jam later.
Listen up. 2020 was a shake-up, but on TikTok, you stepped up and gave it a swipe up. You cheered up, geared up, teared up. You opened your mind up, and when it was easier to give up, you always kept your chin up. 2021, it starts with you. It starts on TikTok.
Radio X.
Jeremy Paxman suggested a return to the days of shops closing early on one afternoon a week.
You're kidding.
What?
What?
In a time of COVID.
When the high streets are struggling?
Everything's struggling. Well, Sonny Paxman wants Thursday. What? So they can nip off to Cash and Caddy. Thursdays I go to Cash and Caddy.
It's a good time for church.
It's a good time to stock up on tree ball refreshers.
What else does he want? What is he after now?
No, that's
now,
it, Gav. Well? I was writing in Saga magazine. Oh, yeah, it was the home of the radical, that one.
Right, yeah.
The former Newsnight presenter said he was reminded of early closing when he went to his local butcher's on a Wednesday afternoon recently, only to find it shut. What's amazing about that is that made him think this is a good thing.
Yeah. Why haven't we got more of this?
He's just playing to that audience. They should be shut on Wednesdays. Why? Because it's change. It's change we don't like. They should shut them. Paxman,
things should be limited.
And I went down to that butcher's and they wouldn't serve me meat. And I went away and thinking, I want other people to feel as disappointed and crushed as this. I want other people to have to walk all the way home with a little plaid shopping trolley filling this disconsolate.
Yes, the young want to plan ahead more, and this should be the lesson to them.
This will be a lesson. You have to plan ahead. This has been a good education for me, and I think others should learn.
You've got to buy 2 days' worth of meat on a Tuesday.
The other thing, Paxman, I've got Paxman's agenda here, Gav.
Go on.
These are my suggestions. But he wants to bring back postal orders, get rid of PayPal.
No, to see.
Definitely.
Postal cashier orders. Number 15.
There was nothing wrong with postal orders.
Luncheon
nothing
branches.
Wrong at all. In fact, considering how little happens at a post office these days, it's amazing how the queues have remained.
I know.
When it used to be the postal order crowd.
My God, yeah.
Also, he wants luncheon vouchers.
Of course.
Who needs credit cards?
Of course he wants that.
Who needs credit cards or Apple Pay?
You know he's only a millimetre away from national service.
He's within an ace, Gav.
He's a millimetre away.
Let me have a little look. He says, how dare Napoleon sneer at a nation of shopkeepers? This is the sort of crap Paxman's coming out with.
God.
And what he's really saying there is, we were best off miles in the past.
I tell you, it wasn't.
It wasn't really miserable. Oh, no. I regard the fact that I can buy milk.
And fried chicken.
No, milk, whenever I want.
Yeah.
I can run out of milk at 10 o'clock on a Saturday and it's fine.
A packet of eggs, you're not showing off anymore.
Yeah, exactly right. Where'd you get those eggs?
Radio X.
The Woodman delivers a hero every day of the week, right here on your 4 till 7 thing. Gavin,
Woodman Woods.
Delivers a hero. I love it if you were a wrestler or a boxer.
Oh, yeah.
And as the announcer said that, you stood there as though with an axe.
Definitely.
Or with your arms out and swayed like a tree.
I am Groot.
And that's how you fought.
Like a tree.
Like
that big, like the big ones in Lord of the Rings.
Yes.
Those big trees.
And a boxer came up and hit you and just obviously hurt his hand. And you just went,
Woodman made of oak.
Oak. So, well, the whole audience went, oak. Gav, give us your hero. Sorry, enough distraction.
Okay, so Johnny, you're on record as saying you love a Guinness record holder.
Oh, well, I love an agile pensioner, Gav.
Yes, you do.
Fair. I'm not at the Guinness Book of World Records. Since the dictators took that one over, I've fallen out of company with
it. Sure. But you're going to like this one. So the hero today, Johnny, is a man called Tim Storms. He's 48. He was born in 1972. He was born in Tulsa, Oklahoma. He grew up in Indiana. And he started singing in church at 5 years old.
Okay.
He's now 48. He's a professional singer, but he holds 2 current Guinness World Records. He has the widest range of any singer on the planet.
How many octaves?
10.
You're kidding me.
No, I'm not. 10 octaves.
But there aren't 10 on a piano.
No, there are 7 on a concert grand piano. 7 octaves, 88 keys. It's absolutely insane that he has 10 octaves.
Does a concert grand have more keys than others?
Yes, that's about as big as they get. I think you could probably invent a bigger piano.
I thought, I want a bigger piano. Could I have some more notes, please? It's the sort of thing Gav, a dictator might do.
Of course.
This piano needs more notes.
But Tim Storms also holds the record for the lowest ever note produced by a human.
Go on, I can sing low, but so, I'm not going to be impressed by this.
No, I need to explain something, so I'm going to use a synthesizer to explain this. This is the hearing range we get tested on when we go to one of those places to test our hearing. This is what about 20 hertz, 25 hertz sounds like. So this is it's very bassy.
Okay.
This is coming up now. That's about 30 hertz. Now we're at 35, and it goes all the way up to 20,000 hertz, which is really high, up to that.
Okay, okay.
So that's what it sounds
Woodman,
like.
Stop it! You're driving them mad with your crazy experiments!
So this is his 2008 record, where he sang at 0.79 of 1 hertz.
That's a man singing.
That's a man singing. And it's kind of ridiculous. He says only...
Is it an art doing it, though? Is there a trick?
He says that only elephants can hear that.
I could hear that.
But if you want some evidence that he can sing low,
yeah,
check this little phrase out.
The Lonesome Road.
Let me try.
That's
Hang
insane,
on.
Isn't it?
Just try this.
Go on.
I once had a competition with George Michael in this very studio, which we called at the time Deep Throat, to see who could sing the lowest. And George Michael just pipped me on it. He could just sing lower by not even a semitone. It was a quarter tone. And do you know something? I interviewed him many times over the years, and I've never seen him so happy.
Oh, my God. He must have loved it.
No, he went on tweet. It was his first ever tweet. He said, I've just done the best interview I've ever done. I won Deep Throat.
That's fantastic.
Yeah, right.
If you measured Tim Storms' voice on a piano, it would be another piano's worth to the left of a piano. Right down the end. Let's salute Tim Storms.
Tim Storm. The Johnny Vaughan 4-7 thing where we salute you. I tell you what, do you know what women... my mum told me years ago, sorry, my gran told me years ago that no woman can resist
what?
A man who can sing Old Man River. If you sidle up in a bar and just go, Old Man River. Apparently that's... Wow. I'm lying.
Radio X. Johnny Vaughan.
A dog collar has come out, Gav, that allows pets to talk with their owners.
No, it doesn't.
Yes, a device records the sound of a dog's bark and works out what emotional state the animal's in.
What?
The device then sends a message to the owner's phone to tell them what their dog's saying. It's like a sort of Google Translate, but for dogs.
This is most irregular.
Sort of Doggle Translate. Doogle Translate. Doogle. Magic Doogle. Roundabout.
Yeah, yeah.
Doogle Translate. That works.
Perfect.
Hey, give me five, guys.
Yay.
Hey, go for it. Sorry, it was our 80s moment. There's one on the show every day.
Yeah.
The South Korean company,
They're called
No, but you worry about it if it's a Korean thing, given the history of what happens to dogs there.
Sure,
just slightly worried.
Sure.
It doesn't translate as, he says it's time for tea.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, right. You don't want that.
Anyway, the South Korean company who developed the device studied 10,000 dogs from 50 breeds and four sizes, sorted their barks. Basically, it's happy, anxious, angry, sad, or relaxed. I've never heard a relaxed bark from Jeff.
Oh, I've never That's heard a relaxed bark.
Man. Anyway, collar is £73, monitors the number of calories burned, tells owners how much food their pooch needs in order to maintain a health weight, and also, over time, understands what it's saying. Do you know what? You don't need a device like that, because as an owner, you should know, as we will find out with Talkies, which is up next on your 4-7 thing. Talkies!
Radio X. Johnny Vaughan's 4-7 thing.
Do you know what? Every show needs a pet segment, Gav.
Always.
Every single show needs a pet segment. You're
right.
Not anything in British broadcasting.
You're nothing. Yeah.
Right, so here's ours, and it is simply Talkies! Talking earlier about that new device, that app which enables you to talk to your pets. You don't need one, you just do it with English.
It's most irregular.
Well, there was a very pompous explorer years ago who conquered the Amazon.
Right.
And he'd been exploring around the world.
Yeah.
And his whole, what he said he discovered when he was asked, from years of travelling the world, exploring, meeting new tribes, new animals, new people.
Yeah.
He said, there is not a living creature on this earth that cannot understand English when spoken in a loud, confident voice.
So he's the one who started that.
Yeah, absolutely right. He's damn right. He's damn right. Now look here!
Two beers!
You people! This is now British! When have you said something weird, stupid, or obvious to an animal? Have you engaged in what is ultimately a one-way conversation? During lockdown, I'm sure it's happening a lot more often. Last time we did this, we heard about Dylan, who tells his miniature schnauzer, Colin, to, quote, pull yourself together, Colin. He also says, Colin, play it cool. Whenever he sees a lady dog.
Play it cool.
Play it cool, Colin. Play it cool. Honestly, the conversations I have, they've got out of hand now, my ones.
Have they?
Well, because I just talked to him so much.
Yeah.
That it's just like, easy, Jeff. Not yet.
Yeah.
If we're just watching telly and he just pricks up, not Jeff, it's just a telly bark.
Steady on.
It's just a telly bark, Jeff. The worst thing is he's starting to understand that.
Do you think?
Because he reacts to any barking on telly. I go, Jeff, it's just a telly one. And I can see he sort of stands down.
Jeff doesn't like standing down.
He doesn't like standing down, no. It's not in him. Here's a few more we've had. This is Sophie in Barnsley. Thank you so much for this, Sophie, and Happy New Year. My young neighbours had fireworks on New Year's Eve, and they made my cat and I jump. We shared a look that said, bloody kids. Oh, I'd love that. I'd love to film that. Woman looks at cat, bloody. And both of them look at each other like, bloody kids.
It's brilliant.
Yeah, we don't like that, do we, Cat? Mm. Go on.
John in Cumbria says...
Hello, John. Happy New Year.
John says, I tell my Jack Russell Wayne...
Too good.
Already brilliant.
Too good.
He says to Wayne, leave it. He's not worth it. Whenever we walk past another dog, because he absolutely loves a good scrap.
Yeah, of course he does. He's Jack Russell.
He's a Jack Russell.
Biggest adrenaline gland in the whole canine world.
Yeah, he thinks even he's a Great Dane. Yeah.
Even bigger than wolves. It is. Yeah. Jack Russell's is permanent. Their adrenaline gland is permanently on.
God. Yeah. Do you think Dennis Wise has got the same thing?
Defo.
Yeah.
This is from Mandy in Coulston. Thank you very much, Mandy and Coulston. I've had to use some conflict resolution strategies with my two chickens, Ronnie and Reggie. They keep fighting with each other. I sat them down and we had it out. Ronnie, try giving Reggie a compliment once in a while. And Reggie, stop jumping to conclusions. She says, there's still tension, but they seem better. Text us your talkies to 83936 or tweet at Radio X. Thank you so much for all of you.
They're brilliant.
Brilliant. Sorry, someone's just texted. I used to play football with a Colin. He used to have an ice cream before a big game. Mm. Thanks for that. Doesn't say what if it's an animal or just...
Or a game.
Yeah. Just apropos of nothing. Thank you very much for that. Thank you for sharing that. I appreciate that. Appreciate that. It's fantastic. That was Talkies! You know what? Small business owners have always worked really hard. Like a kind of salmon swimming upstream. But the stream, yeah? That's Niagara Falls. And these days, they have to work even harder to get up those falls. Anyway, Barclaycard Business are there to suit your changing business needs. That's the point. Whether you're taking payments face-to-face, I don't know, online or phone, whether you're moving your pet shop online or shifting from in-house dining to a takeaway. Make accepting payments or moving payments online the easier part of adapting your business with a reliable, flexible and helpful payment provider. Barclaycard Business. Take every payment seriously. Search Barclaycard Business. Radio
X. Gav. Yeah.
Snakes have learned a new trick, would you believe?
They can't have. It's a snake. What else can they do?
They're already terrifying. Get this.
Go on.
Sneaky snake. I'm going to tell you about that. I've got two snake stories, really weirdly. One which terrifies the other.
Okay.
So, a Coronation Street actor, let's just say star.
Okay.
Said that he was left dreaming of snakes after he found a 4-foot royal python sitting on his lavatory seat. That'll do it. Yeah, that should come back in your dreams. I'd be more troubled. This is Harry Vicinoni, who plays Seb Franklin.
Okay.
He said he saw the reptiles staring at him on Saturday night when he went to brush his teeth. Could be worse. I've got to tell you, that could be worse in so many ways.
Yeah.
It could be staring up at you when you went to sit down.
And you really don't want that.
Don't want that.
No.
Especially if it's just after.
I don't.
And you're just standing up to flush and you look down and it's tearing up and then you don't know where it's come from, frankly. Then that's...
That snake is angry.
Yeah, right. The RSPCA believes a snake, which is named Lulu, escaped from its previous owner into wall cavity. I just want to know, how do they know it's called Lulu?
Yeah, how do they know?
The snake, which is called Lulu, they believe escaped, but they don't know the owner.
That's the only name it would respond to, obviously. Yeah, right.
Press
can you whistle for a snake?
Sorry, only one man enjoying that, and he's doing the show. They left the bathroom to discuss what to do. By the time they returned, the snake had disappeared.
Oh, God, that's worse. Where is it
there
now?
There is a snake. There is a snake right in there. The pair then spent a sleepless night dreaming about snakes before calling. This is him and his partner. But do you know what? If you didn't dream about snakes after that, that would be disturbing.
Yeah.
Oh, I found a snake on the loop. Nope. Never. Didn't give you any nightmares or anything. It's going to give you a nightmare.
Yeah, yeah.
If you think that sounds horrendous, this is really horrendous. This is very quick.
Go on.
Snakes, it turns out. Snakes are much smarter than you thought they were.
How?
And not only that, they can improvise.
No, they
yes,
can't.
Yes, they can improvise. Get this.
Go on.
The mice should have been safe between their cage and the voracious brown tree snakes of Guam. Yeah, they put one. So they put these trees, they put these mice they've on a 3-foot pole.
Yeah.
On an unclimbable metal pole.
Oh, to see how the snakes deal with it. Right,
yeah,
right.
To see how the snakes deal with being tempted by the delicious smell of mouse. Except the scientists realised as they watched it wasn't unclimbable at all, thanks to a kind of snake locomotion never before recorded.
No, come
on. So they've got a move. No, they've got a move, Gav.
Go on.
Faced with an apparently insuperable barrier, but motivated by the tasty mice. That's exactly right, Simon. You are exactly... Sorry, big sigh. Just mimed...
Oh, I didn't see what he mimed.
He mimed it exactly right. The snake tied itself into a lasso and shimmied up the vault.
No.
Yes!
Clever girl.
He lassoed up there. How about that?
My God.
Imagine that in your Kazi.
Radio X.
Everybody all right? You all right there, Gav?
Yeah, really good.
Joe, you with us? How have you been, matey?
Hey.
How's everything going with you there?
He's just finding a mic.
What's weird is...
Sorry, John, I wasn't lined up.
If we don't see people for a long time, you know, because when you know me as well as Joe does, you can say John.
Sure.
no, Joe, every time people come in the office, we haven't seen for a while, their hair is wildly different. You look like one of the Kings of Leon. You've got that sort of quite greased, dark hair with a little beard. You look great.
I haven't cut since last February now.
Wow.
Wow, man, that's...
He's beating the boss.
Look, us looking at him like, oh, God, I want that.
I know.
I wish we
it's
could...
It's so annoying.
God, why am I young like him? I don't know, you don't just adore him or hate him, right?
I know,
anyway, the woman and I, you know, we're not a couple, but...
it's not a TV show.
Gav's carried on shaving, doing his own barbering.
Yeah.
I've stopped doing it because I don't do such a good job and I love a barber's, so I'm letting my hair grow. Now, one of the reasons I got a skinhead was because it was an accident in a Portuguese... holiday resort.
Okay.
And the clippers, the guide fell off the woman's... It's an old story I tell a lot of time.
Right.
But the clipper thing fell off the woman's
clippers. You ended up going fully bald and had to take it all
off. And she decided to go through the centre parting for that first rather than work the sides. So I was just left there. And it was when I was
you
a real...
A reverse Mohican.
It was when I was a real crafty comer as well. You know, I was back then.
That was the Caesar bit.
Yeah, I was doing the Caesar cut. Literally, it was like painting with numbers up there. You know, I've got trouble in E4. E4, you know, just literally moving it around the head. Anyway, so the clippers fell off. I felt and I heard those awful words, whoops.
Oh,
except
no.
In the Portuguese equivalent, it was okay, you know, less hair's more power, I'm fine with it.
Sure.
But sure. The problem is that I haven't since then, I've never fully grown it back.
Right.
I've just kept it about grade one or whatever.
Yeah.
And then I assume, because when I have done, I've got a few rogue greys, that if I did,
yeah,
like my beard,
yeah,
I'd be grey.
Yeah, and you're not.
No, I've just grown it back. Now I used to have brown hair. And it's grown black. It turns out I've got black hair.
It is bizarre.
And it looks sort of dyed, but you can't dye hair.
It's not
at this
even
length.
On the temples.
No, it's like trying to dye a snooker table.
It is. You've got salt and pepper beard.
Yes.
And black hair.
It's black hair, right. So my girlfriend, Vanessa, who is, I would say, wonderfully wry, her new craze is whenever I go to the loo, and I'm sitting there, she started to play Black Velvet.
What, that sort of...
To mock my hair. Yes, so I'm sitting there, and I suddenly just, wherever I am, I suddenly just hear,
I'm thinking, oh, I'm getting mocked again. She starts saying to me all the time, she goes, don't try and use that soft southern smile. And it's just, no, Gav, it's horrendous being mocked.
Does
with
she
song.
Still doing that every
no,
time
it's something,
you're in the
it's
bathroom.
Something I do, but it's the disadvantage of having, literally every phone is like travelling music. So you can really mock people like that. I think
you
this
can.
Is the sort of thing I used to do to people at school, is sort of mocking because of their hair.
Black.
No, but I really felt victimised. It really put me off my stride this morning. I was just sitting there. I like to read my book. I've got a really cracking book going. Yeah. And suddenly I hear this under the thing and just giggling.
She Black is an expert Mickey taker.
No, she really is, yeah.
She really
she,
yeah, is.
Office working people.
Yeah, weapons grade.
Is this the real version?
All you're getting is the harmony there, John, so you need to put the top line
okay,
in.
No, I'm not, no, you put the top line on. You're really good at that. Anyway, it just... It made me wonder, Gav, have you been mocked with song before?
I don't think I have. I have seen some footage before of riot police with the masks, the helmets going,
yeah.
Coming into the situation. I think it was in Paris.
Yes.
And someone had a trumpet and they were going, ba, 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 ba.
I was speaking to a Kickabout show producer. Vin saw someone. He saw someone at Reading Rock Festival,
yeah,
with one of those big, what used to be called ghetto blasts. I'm not sure you can say that anymore.
Right.
But whatever, those huge, you know, the big music systems.
Yeah.
And they were following two policemen round Reading,
right,
playing the Bill theme. As these guys. But anyway, I'd like all your mock anthems, please.
Things, mock and roll.
No, it's just things, yeah, mock and roll, mock anthems, just things, tunes you've used to mock people.
Excellent.
Or that have been used to mock you along the way. I need a little story behind it as well.
Yeah.
But I tell you, at the moment, this is really getting me
this
down.
Is going to haunt you.
No, it's just getting me down. She's doing it all the time. Like, I wake up in the morning, I like a lion, and I just hear this on the thing. Or I just hear, just stroke my hair and go, Black Velvet. It's just really bad. It's the sort of thing I leave the workplace from. You lot taking the mickey. Or the listeners on 839.
Is it some kind of alcoholic drink, Black Velvet?
It is, yeah. Guinness with Tia Maria, isn't it? Or port. 83936, please. Your mock anthems. Your mock anthems.
Radio X. Johnny Vaughan.
My heart leapt because I saw Fergie's debut novel.
Yeah.
Fergie is to publish a debut novel in Mills and Boone. And I thought, Alec Ferguson.
Yeah, novels?
Yes.
Romance novels.
When she stood there in that changing room with a tray of tea.
A lovely pink tabard.
A lovely punk tabard. But no, purple.
Purple tabard, purple glinting in the afternoon
purple
sunlight.
We're a tray of orange segments. I knew she's mine. I couldn't.
God,
wait.
I'd love to read
I
that.
Couldn't wait to offer her a complimentary hot beverage at my B&B. No, Gab, but the point is, we're going to do that on Saturday
on
the Kickabout.
Yes, that's a bit sports-based.
That's a bit sports-based. Yeah. We're going to do that on Saturday on the Kickabout.
Listen up. 2020 was a shake-up, but on TikTok, you stepped up and gave it a swipe up. You cheered up, geared up, teared up. You opened your mind up, and when it was easier to give up, you always kept your chin up. 2021, it starts with you. It starts on TikTok.
Radio X.
83936 for your mock anthems. This is because my girlfriend started singing Black Velvet at me. Because it turns out now the hair's grown out. I've got really dark hair.
Yeah.
He says, when my mate got gout, he walked into the pub and another sympathetic mate pointed at him, loudly sung, and then the whole pub joined in. The Tears for Fears classic. Gout! Gout! Thank you so much for that. we've had loads of beauties in. Keep those coming in. My wife's called Stacey. When her mum comes round, well, you know the one. Gar! That's Terry. Thank you very much, Terry. He says, great show. Always a pleasure. Go on, Gav.
Dean in Essex says, I've shaved my head for years for simplicity. When I was in engineering college, I had to wear overalls all the time. Add that to the fact that I'm short and bald. The other students used to sing, Dean looks like a baby to the tune of Aerosmith.
Dean looks like a baby.
This is Radio X. Johnny Vaughan.
Gav.
Yeah.
I've never understood mountaineering.
No, I haven't either.
Probably because I'm scared of heights.
Yeah.
Also because everything that they do represents everything I want to avoid.
Yeah, me too.
There's nothing involved.
It's very cold, usually.
One, stacks of preparation. I'm terrible at it.
Yes.
So even before you've left, there's a, in the greatest travel book ever written, which is called The Worst Journey in the World. I know I bang on about it a lot.
Yeah.
It's just so good. It's absolutely Terry Garrard's account of Scott's disastrous expedition to the South Pole.
What can go wrong?
He survived amazingly.
Yeah.
But he's utterly scathing about Scott, who he blatantly thinks he can't say it because he's too British.
Yeah.
But he blatantly thinks he's just an idiot. And his opening words were, "Scott always used to maintain." It's something like this, anyway. Yeah. "Scott always maintained that after a preparation for an expedition is over, that's the worst bit done." Which considering silly, he died horribly in a tent 12 miles away from the nearest bit of food, is like saying this man was never right about anything.
Right, yeah.
Anyway, so preparation, that's the first thing I know.
Yeah.
Second, just the cold, wind,
exactly.
Unpredictable things. Even fictional creatures that might attack you, like Yeti.
I don't even like camping on flat ground in the summer.
No, there's nothing about it. Also, but these things like taking like an hour to boil water for a miserable cup of tea.
Yeah,
and what do you get? A view of cloud at the end of it. Or a view you could have out of an aeroplane window, but you've got to, because it is five miles
high.
Yeah,
but you've got to suffer first, yeah.
It just strikes me as if you're doing that, then you don't... I get that sense of achievement when I'm just in a gym, you know, when I'm just benching.
Sure.
I'm climbing mountains. I mean, I do the equivalent of climb Everest virtually every time I walk within a meter of a stairmaster.
Sure. Absolutely. Absolutely.
Anyway, get this. An attempt on one of the last unclaimed mountaineering feats. And now they're having to think so hard. It used to be climb the top of a mountain. But now it's like climb the North Face in a certain sort of shoe.
That's you know, the new
he's
challenge.
The first person ever to climb... I know what no one's done. The South Face with no oxygen... And shorts. They've done it in shorts.
Speedos.
They've done it in shorts. All right, flip-flops.
Speedos and flip-flops.
I'm going to do it in flip-flops.
Crocs.
I'll do it in flip-flops.
Crocs and chaps.
Yeah, you want to impress me, any of you. If you really want to impress me, carry your own luggage. Don't use the locals. That's what really impressed me. Yeah. The first person to actually do it without using almost slave labour up there.
Yeah, yeah.
Right. Four international teams of climbers have spent the past month on K2 preparing for an assault on the world's second highest peak. It's 8,611 metres. It's called the Savage Mountain.
Right.
Feared as one of the most dangerous on Earth, remains the only summit above 8,000 metres yet to be conquered in winter. And not without good reason.
There's a reason for
it. Yeah. What I would say is, to any of those people going up there, if you're in their family, look at them and say, why don't you like us? And don't let them get away with that. It's just something I've got to do, love. Before I go, I've always said I want to be first up K2 in winter. And I love that idea more than I love you lot in here. More than I love the babby. But we've just had a baby, love. I don't care. K2 calls. Imagine being the first to go up there in the winter. It's a high mountain. Wait a bit.
I know.
Wait a bit. It's not like seasonal records. Every record shouldn't have... but he did it in the winter, Gav.
Yes. Yes.
You can't start doing that.
Yeah.
Anyway, that's that done. So it's a disaster. They've had to go home. It was a wreckage site.
Yeah.
With all the tents and equipment. They're all destroyed. They've all been swept away by wind. They got there.
You're gonna get that.
If you're listening out there, please join Gav and I as we go.
You're gonna get that. All the tents destroyed. No food.
Radio X.
I just sing Radiohead to my wife when she causes her own demise. For instance, when she is hungover. You do it to yourself.
You do. That's beautiful.
That's from Stoobs. Stoobs in Andover.
You used to have a girl in our office that moaned about everything. I used to sing It's the End of the World as We Know It by R.E.M. Good choice. No name given. Go on, Gav, let's go through this.
Tim says, I worked at a digital agency a few years back. Whenever someone got upset, we used to play the Incredible Hulk end credits theme.
Okay, this is really good. Are you ready for this?
Go on.
A friend of mine is a plumber.
Yeah.
Right? he liked to frequent the wine bar in West Byfleet. Gav?
Yes.
That's where you live?
That's my area.
You don't think they're mocking you here?
I'm not a plumber.
I know, but I don't know with you. You've got so many skills.
Right.
Although
I do have an idea who they might be talking about.
Yeah, I hope.
Because that van is always parked outside.
Okay, here we go. There's a wine bar in West Byfleet. A little bit too much. He earned the nickname Part-Time Plumber. Two of the other regulars one day spent a whole 2 hours changing the lyrics, all of them, of Part-Time Lover by Stevie Wonder to Part-Time Plumber. Yeah, very good.
That's
very good.
Brilliant.
Go on,
that's
Gav,
brilliant.
Next one up.
We used to play Simply Red's Money's Too Tight to Mention when my friend Dave used to walk into the pub. When he ordered his own beer, it was a half. Otherwise, it was a pint if you asked him what he wanted. That's from Barry and Sidcup.
I've got a real belter for you here. When I worked, and this is from Neil in Wrexham. Thank you so much, Neil. When I worked at a call centre in Bournemouth, the reps' names were displayed on the phone ID. One of them was called Warren Nye. Every time he'd call, we'd all scrabble to get to the phone and sing, "Oh, Warren Nye, late December back in 63. God, that jaw that is. That's wonderfully wry.
It is.
Hi, Johnny. I'm a prison music teacher. When the boys come into the room, I always play I Fought the Law and the Law.
That's cold.
Tell you what, I've got to tell you. High-risk strategy.
Very.
Cold-blooded. Go on, Gav.
Lee and Egham, this is a beauty. Whilst doing a patio, one of our labourers went to the boot of his car to get something and dropped a complete tin of paint over the customer's driveway. It went everywhere. No word of a lie, ABBA came on the radio with Don't Go Wasting Your Emotion, which was then changed to Emulsion.
Nice, nice. And lastly, my name's Ben. God, I wish Michael Jackson had called his rat something different.
Radio X.
Gav, I was just reading more about that mission to conquer K2, the disastrous mission that I was just talking about a second ago there. So they've had to abandon it. They wanted to be the first people to conquer it in winter. The fact that no one has done should have told them something.
Yeah.
But so they got to the camp. The tents had been obliterated. The equipment blasted from the slopes by the gale.
Yeah.
It was a wreckage site. We found both our tents, all the equipment we had left there for the summit plan are all destroyed and swept away by the wind, Gav.
Yeah.
Also, this former Gurkha and British Special Forces veteran, he smashed the record for conquering all 14 death zone peaks. But with his equipment gone, this is over now, Gav. The weather remains grim. None of the teams has yet reached Camp 4. And then there's the infamous bottleneck, which is a perilous, steep and narrow gully just below the summit. 77 climbers have been lost down there over the years. That's not kind.
Johnny Vaughan's 4 till 7 thing. Radio X.
Thank you so much for all your mock anthems. I really appreciate them. They are absolute genius. One last one. This is Chris in Erskine, and there's so many good ones that come in late because you've obviously all racked your brains and thought about this. Hi, Johnny and Gav. In my work, there's an Aussie IT guy called Ken De La Vega, yeah? I'm yet to resist singing Smooth Operator if he's mentioned in any email or call. Ken De La Vega, Ken De La Vega. And fun enough, we both just put our fingers in our ears as well. He says it's quite the performance, often approached with finger in ear and eyes closed for perfect pitch and feel. Marvellous show as always, chaps. That's Chris in Erskine. Ken De La Vega.
Radio X. Johnny Vaughan's 4 till 7 thing.
Guys, I've just read a staggeringly useless bit of research.
Oh, yeah.
Like
what?
I say, like most things stored in museums, I'm not some kind of Philistine, incidentally. I do love a museum. You know, I'm
of course, yeah.
I like to think I'm a cultured, you know.
You're a history buff.
Fairly well read individual. You know, I'm not educated, neither's the Woodman.
Sure,
you know,
we
didn't go to university. We're largely self taught. But that self tautness is fueled by genuine enthusiasm for subjects. Now, Gav,
go on.
I just think out there we're being led by people who are just, they're not in the scheme of things if they think this is interesting. You ready, Gav?
Go on.
The megalodon. You know the megalodon?
The giant shark, yeah.
Yeah, well, its teeth are weaker than a great white's.
What?
Yeah.
This is supposed to be the most terrifying shark ever.
The extinct shark, one of the largest to exist, 20 million years ago. The researchers expected its teeth to be stronger as it evolved, but they are...
Yeah.
They're actually weaker, it turns out.
That's weird.
No, but that, to me, that's just two guys in a lab goes, these teeth are a bit weak. It might be because the only ones you're looking at are 30 million years old. You know, that might bring in a bit of decay.
Yeah, exactly.
You want to see what my gran's teeth were like after, like, a, and that was just only after, well, let's say she lost her milk teeth at 10, she died at 92, say 82 years, and they looked very weak, and they literally crumble on a biscuit.
Yeah, it must have been a really old shark, yeah, or just, a shark that ate a lot of sweets.
Yeah,
we don't
know. But that's not the times. That's not worthy of the times. That's two guys going, well, these teeth look a bit weak. And another researcher going, yeah.
Yeah, interesting.
Yeah, I suppose you're right. Yeah. What should we do now, then? Let's do something interesting.
Radio X.
Get this. You ready?
Go on.
Weary Brits back on the booze.
Oh, God,
I read that. Literally,
so
my heart sank. Like, whatever energy I've got in me just went. Weary Brits. So it turns out I'm back on the booze. Another one. Dry January. Over.
Oh, God.
Turns out that all British people did this year, it was like mun dry. That's it. I did dry Monday and that was too much to contemplate.
I almost didn't last.
I can't stay within the bosom of the family without at least two bottles of wine. Anyway, one thing that did cheer me up, though.
Go on.
Is the offer of a nightwear company. This isn't something, you know, this isn't like... an oriental style negligee.
No, it's not that kind of nightwear.
Filled with erotic promise. It's not that.
No.
Guaranteeing Far Eastern promiscuity. It's not that.
Go on.
A nightwear company is looking to hire one man and one woman to test and review slippers. That
what?
Is... I'm a test pilot. I'm a test driver, really. What do you test? Slippers.
Slippers.
Well, no, the other week I had a particularly edgy pair. It was radical, the design. It was radical.
Was he the best of the best?
You put them on, anything can happen. Seriously.
I'm codenamed Viper.
I'm Viper. This is me, Mrs.
Goose.
Mongoose.
So how are you going to test slippers? You're going to test, you're going to check up and down stairs?
I don't know, Gav, but I've never seen a design so radical. I thought, oh, they better test that for a bit.
Yeah, I've got to make sure it works.
Before you put that one out there. It's a bit of an edgy slipper, that one. I mean, you
could get injured, yeah.
You pays your money, you takes your choice for those ones.
It's 2 days a month work from this article you've got here.
Yes.
2 days a month for 333 quid a month.
You get free pairs of slippers.
Yeah, and you do a 2-day consultancy.
All the slippers you can wear.
On all things slippers, loungewear, and also a bit of homeware as well.
Okay, you get 333 quid a month.
Yeah, yeah.
That works out as a salary it's about 40,000 pro rata.
Right.
For your time and critiques.
Yeah.
But you'll only be working 2 days a month, so it'll just be about 4,000 a year. Yeah?
Okay.
So,
yeah.
You know, that's it. But it would have been, you know, on the pro rata. But anyway, successful candidates, you wear the slippers 12 hours a day.
Okay.
That's nothing at the moment.
That's I'm already doing.
I'm
you're looking at him.
I'm the day guy.
I'm the commandant.
I'm doing that in my Crocs at the moment just to take the bins out.
Easily.
2 days a month. I can't love, I've had a hard day. Testing these little sods.
They've been on all day.
You try wearing these for 12 hours. No, I'm knackered.
Try walking one day in my slippers.
You try putting your feet up in these all day.
It looks easy, but it's not.
Remember, these are untested.
I'm a professional.
I put in for danger money.
I'm a professional.
You say that, it's icy when you take bins out. And they want a review on that. How they handle gravel. Radical thinking in a woods in Kent.
Right.
Jobs as Britain's first bison rangers.
What?
Yeah, that's what they want in a wood in Kent.
My God.
The Kent Wildlife Trust and Wild Wood Trust, as part of their Wilder Blean project to restore Blean Woods near Canterbury. If I'd known about this, I'd have really got involved. They're introducing great big European ancient bison into forests in Kent.
That's awesome.
Radical.
That is really awesome.
I love it.
And get some bears in as well. Yeah. And lynxes.
No, and also cavemen.
Definitely.
No, I'd love it if there were ancient tribes living here. And this is no offence to people down in Millwall.
Yeah.
But I'd love it if there were ancient tribes. And, you know, it's a bit like, yeah, those countries. And they sort of say, no, there are some people who've never had any contact with humans.
Yeah, like in the Appalachians in Alabama and stuff like that.
The Appalachians isn't really Alabama. That's deep South Appalachians. Oh, okay. More so Kentucky up there. But I'm talking about like, rainforest.
Right.
You know, so you've got a country there. It's part of Brazil. But they've got tribes.
Yeah, never seen people.
And I wish that was in Britain as well. I really did. Like the Pennines.
Yeah.
So don't go in there. Well, no, there's all the Iron Age tribes up there, isn't there? You want to go up there, they'll eat you.
Yeah, they will. Stuff. They'll get you.
No, they're probably feeding on bison. But I like the idea of ancient people in Kent.
Be a great idea.
Yes.
I really like the idea.
And even then, I bet they'd be smoking. I know, even though we're cavemen, we're like a smoke. Yeah, Dave, you got any more of them fags? The last story, Gav, what I wanted. So they're reintroducing bison in, and that's a great job, Gav. That's a great job.
Bison wrangler? Come on.
Bison wrangler in Kent?
Bison wrangler.
Your name, John Vaughan. Your occupation? I'm a bison wrangler in Kent. And your chosen subject is bison.
Bison.
Incidentally, I always wonder why on Mastermind you never get someone who goes, your name, and so you say, you go, Gavin Woods.
Yeah.
Your occupation, plumber. And your specialist subject is plumbing.
Yeah, they should do that.
Ask me on plumbing.
Yeah, that's what I'm going with.
Yeah, that's what I want to do. Name, occupation, optician, chosen subject, glasses. I've never seen it. I watch that show I've been watching that show a lot. Okay, here's the next thing. The fearsome, sorry, I don't know why I've petered out into a lot. For years, I meant. The fearsome, supersized wolves on Game of Thrones. Far from being fantastical, are very like a distinct species with evolutionary lineage, far more ancient than anybody ever realized, scientists revealed. They're called dire wolves. They existed about 13,000 years ago. I don't know what's changed, why they suddenly downsized. I don't see the big difference. Like sheep are the same.
Dire.
Yeah, they're called dire wolves. But they strike me as the skeletons of dire wolves and grey wolves are so incredibly similar, we thought there'd be no way they couldn't be very close related. And perhaps they're the same species.
Mm.
But they're distinct. They can't be interbred, which is the important thing.
Right.
But for me, they should get the DNA Jurassic Park style.
Yes.
And they're the ones for Scotland.
Defo.
30,000 of them.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. They've got ancient peoples up in Scotland still, haven't they?
I think so.
No, I think there are. They're like Picts.
Yeah, I think you're right.
No, I think there are. I'm not kidding.
Yeah.
No, I'm not kidding. I think on some of the islands, there are people who have never had any human kindness. No, they've never had any contact with humans at all. Ever.
Johnny Vaughan's 4-7 thing.
Radio X.
That was our podcast. Don't forget to hit the subscribe button now and you'll get the 4-7 thing downloaded straight to your device every Friday. I always love saying this at the end of the podcast when you know people have successfully done that. Preaching to the choir.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Make sure you download the podcast. Then you can listen to what you've just heard. If you want to get in touch, email johnny@radiox.co.uk. Radio.